What was the one question you'd really wish someone had asked, but they never did, and you really had something to say about something?
I think, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a really good question right there in itself, actually. I think nobody actually asked me what I wanted the book to do long term.
Chris, what do you want the book to do long term?
It's so look stage now, but I'll take it anyway.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko. James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome to superfastbusiness.com. And I'm very excited to introduce today's guest, Chris Ducker. How are you?
I'm good, James. How about yourself, mate?
Good. How many people confuse your name with the famous Peter Drucker?
I tell you, I don't get that many. I get more issues with the black comedian Chris Tucker. that happens quite regularly. I'm very quick to point out that I'm not the actor that only makes a film with Jackie Chan every time he runs out of money. You know what I mean? So, yeah, nice. I would prefer the Peter Drucker one. I've got to be honest.
Well, now that we've got the transcriptions, we should pick up some nice search queries for both of them.
There you go.
Plus,
there
you. Now you're getting a bit famous lately. You're getting close to the top sellers list on Amazon from the book that you launched yesterday, hot off the press. And you might want to tell us all about this book in a very short summary, and then we're going to dig into it a bit because I've read the book.
Okay, good. I'm happy to know that. Yeah, I mean, Virtual Freedom. How to work with virtual staff to buy more time, become more productive, and build your dream business. And it literally is the, you know, it's the continuation of the outsourcing section of the 4-hour work week. That's what it is. It's the, you know, how, you know, where to find, how to hire, how to train, how to manage, how to motivate, how to pay, and how to really just inject virtual staff into your business to help run, support, and grow it. And, you know, this has been, I've been in the outsourcing business 10 years, right? So, and I've been kind of, you know, within the online space for 4 years now, pretty solidly, almost 4.5 years. And, you know, the VA stuff is what I've sort of become, quote unquote, internet famous for. So it was right for me to come out with this book at this particular moment in time and fill in some of those gaps. So, and it is doing very well, which is really, really nice to see because I put a lot of effort into it.
I'm not at all surprised. I mean, we've caught up several times in several countries, actually.
We have.
Pretty cool. And even though I sort of heard of you for a few years and I wasn't sure what to make of you when I first, you know, just prior to meeting you, but when I did get to meet you, I found a pretty sensitive bloke there. You've actually got some similar views to me on the culture and the way to get the team performing well, but also for them to be happy. And I want to just cover some of the things that I picked up from going through the book. And I also want to sort of cover some of the must topics, like who is this book for? And just before you answer that, I really totally get where you're coming from as you going deep and it's the extension on the 4-hour work week, because that sort of said, you know, get a girl Friday. And I know there's the services that he recommended in that book got absolutely chocked up because I, from memory, that's when I started down this path. About then I'd put in an inquiry and there was a big waiting list. So let's just firstly cover this. Who should be reading this book?
You know, it's everyone and anyone that is currently either A, experiencing overwhelm in the running of a business, or B, not experiencing the overwhelm, but perhaps want to get that additional help that they know they need to be able to take everything to the next level. You know, it's for, you know, SMEs, it's for solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, consultants, authors, speakers, online entrepreneurs, you know, internet marketers, bloggers. Yeah, I mean, you name it. Anyone that's really doing anything that could do with a helping hand, particularly an online savvy helping hand, to really, you know, streamline the day-to-day running and the growth of their business.
Yeah, and you have a business called Virtual Staff Finder.
Correct, yeah.
Has that already started to get busy since the book came out?
I mean, it's still maybe a little too early to tell. I mean, we have definitely seen a pretty interesting spike in sales in the month of March. You know, I did a fair amount of podcast interviews and I had a little bit other press and things like that and the run-up of the book coming out. And we have seen a spike, but it's going to be interesting now. Now that the book is actually getting sent out from Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and you can pick it up in the stores, and you know, now that it's out there, quote unquote, it's going to be interesting to see what sort of knock-on effect it has. I mean, I can only assume that it's going to help business.
It's going to be massive. I think it's a super smart thing to do, is to create a nice big fat pipeline from Amazon and to be getting yourself on podcasts talking about it, yeah. Rolling up a red carpet to the front door of your supply. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't the I do want to clarify, it wasn't the only reason I wrote the book, but
no, I know that. I know that. And you actually go to great pains in the book to say that A, you point out your bias.
Yeah.
B, you give people alternative choices on the approach they might take to getting people. And I know that the biggest questions I get, where do I find people? How much do I pay them? What can I reasonably expect someone to be able to do? And you cover all of these topics, which I thought was wonderful. It's definitely the most comprehensive guide that I've seen in terms of getting behind especially the Philippine culture. I'd say that it has a pretty strong leaning towards that culture, but that's because it's such an amazing place to have your team because of the English speaking and the wage arbitrage between Western countries. So it's such an in-depth report, and to top that off, pretty much everything I've read from everywhere else is utter crap and like so disconnected from reality. They say you can hire someone for $250 a month, and I know you don't get a flushing toilet in a crappy apartment for $250 a month in the Philippines. So you've put some reality into the picture, and especially you've myth-busted the idea that you can hire one person who can magically do everything in your business while you just kick back in the hammock.
Yeah, I mean, that was actually one of the main reasons why I wrote the thing in the first place, to be really, really honest with you, because I just got sick and tired of these so-called quote-unquote experts or gurus online saying that you can get one guy from the Philippines for $1.60 an hour to do everything that you need done for your business. And I call a massive amount of BS on that, and I have done for many, many, many years. And I think people are now finally starting to accept the fact that if they want to bring good quality talent into their business to help grow it, they have to hire for the role and not for a bunch of tasks. And yeah, that super VA myth, as far as I'm concerned, I kick the crap out of it now. That's it. I'm done. You know what I mean?
Well, there's also, you know, you mentioned something else, and you're really clear on this, and I'm just nodding my head when I read this part, is that these people aren't robots. They're actually people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're, you know, you don't look at a virtual assistant as a program that you hit the start button and it sort of, you know, boots itself up and gets going. You know, just like with any other type of employee, whether they be sitting in the same room as you or across the other side of the office from you, you know, you need to spend time with them. You've got to train them. You've got to motivate them. You've got to hold them accountable. You've got to be sometimes a shoulder to cry on if need be. You've got to be supportive. You've got to be a nice person to work for. And if you do all those things and a whole lot more, then, you know, you'd be off to the races.
Yeah, and I know I love the races, as you know.
You do love the race. You're absolutely right.
I love the races, but we're talking about own the race course here, of course, my idea that it's good to own things. Now, I view my team as a team, and I absolutely love the people in my business. They make the business special. They will take this podcast and they will transcribe it and illustrate it and publish it, and then they'll share it on other sites and even prepare the emails that go out. My main role is to do the talking, which is definitely the part that I enjoy the most. Mm-hmm. And through the power of having an amazing team who are specialists at each of the roles, and there's several people involved in that process, we're able to create things and share the message. So I love the message in the book. I think there are two things in the book that I have different opinions about. I'm happy to cover those here if you want to have a little showdown. Or
yeah, let's do it. I'd love to hear. I'd love to hear.
Number one, and I'm just being cheeky, by the way. I always like to put a bit of controversy in. I definitely don't want to do your run-of-the-mill podcast with the author schlocky promo thing. That's not what we're here for. We're here to share good messages.
No.
Okay. You suggest to hire for skill first and foremost, but I prefer to hire for attitude first and foremost because I have a fairly long time frame with an employee, and I'm happy to induct someone and bring out their strengths and then train them. So I guess that's one thing we do slightly differently.
Well, I mean, for me, an attitude for me, I mean, there's a part in the book actually which I talk about the three most important components of a hire. The first one being skill. The second being the ability to invest in themselves. So I always ask that question when I interview somebody: what have you done the last 6 months to interview yourself, to invest in yourself, to better yourself? And I want to hear, you know, oh, I've read these books, or I listened to these podcasts, or I went to this course at the community college or the library or something, right? And then lastly, I talk about attitude. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't think attitude is important. I think it is. But I think a lot of people, when they get going with outsourcing for the first time, I think they're in, you know, a lot of people are in a bit of a rush to start offloading tasks.
Yeah, I think we've hit on the point here.
Yeah.
That's the, you know what? It really depends on how quickly you need a result, how long a time frame you're approaching it, and what the long-term view is, and if you are actually resourced and able to train.
Yeah.
So the reason we've done really well is that we have been going for 4 years now, and we've had time to bring in people, to train them, to foster their strengths, and to discover them. A lot of people who I started, for one thing, ended up in something else because we have a philosophy in our business. Like, if you can identify a part in the business that you would rather be doing than what you're doing now, let us know so we can move you around, and then we can replace the role you were doing.
And that, you know, that right there is the exact reason why you've been so successful with your virtual team. It's that, you know, it's I guess it's that focus on cultivating that culture within your company and allowing people to shine on their own merits and do things that they like to do. I mean, somebody is going to be way more productive, is going to bring way more value to your business if they're doing what they enjoy than if they're just a, you know, quote unquote, doing a job or doing a task. You know what I mean? So I love the fact that you have that little guideline internally. I think it's great.
Yeah, I actually picked that up from a mega company that I used to work for, and I was that person who wasn't allowed to move from one role to another, and I ended up leaving the company.
There you go.
You know, so we don't have much churn, which is the people who come and then go, because we let people move around and we hire really well. So second point, and again, just being cheeky here, I think
I like the way you keep setting it up like that. That's great.
One of your questions, I just grin and I go, that is so crisp. So how are you going to help my company? And it's very me focused. And I know it's all about you, but when we're hiring, I like to focus more on the candidate and their behavioral history. So less hypothetical, more behavioral history. So it's like, you know, when you come on board, what are you going to do? I think it's really easy to answer that one or to fudge it. It's much harder to answer. So in your last role, what sort of challenges did you have, and what happened, and then what happened, and what did you do then, and how did you react, and how did that make you feel? So these are more behavioral based questions. So it's really just a refinement on the technique that you outline.
Yeah, I think, you know, you bring up some good points there. I mean, everybody has their own style, right? And that's what makes interviewing such an art form in itself. It's just like anything else. Once you do it enough, you get it down. You know what works and what's not going to work. And for me, I mean, I you know, and you don't pull punches actually. Like, you know, when you give feedback and you know, you're teaching and coaching and doing all the stuff that you do so well at such a high level, you don't pull punches, and I'm the same kind of guy, but I think I'm a little bit more brash attitude.
Yeah, you have more show, I think. And you know, you've built such an incredible business because of that. This just sounds like a love fest. Okay, let's move on. Now, I'm interested in how long did it take to put this book together?
Oh, too long. You know, this is probably a conversation for another episode completely, but you know, this...
Well, I'm just going for gold here, because a lot of the people in my audience, myself included, are interested in the process you've just been through. And we're happy to do a second episode, especially when you've got more data, because it's day one, and I think you've hit the top 500 or something already?
I think we're sitting at around 308.
Whoa, smoking hot, man. I'd love to see you hit the top. And it'd be good if every single listener immediately goes to Amazon and buys the book. That would give it a nice little spike.
It wouldn't hurt.
Because you deserve to go well. But what it does do, it's basically a great positive result in our community where someone who has significant expertise has taken the arduous task of documenting and putting forward good information where it's sadly lacking and gets it out to the market, and the market receives it and says, yes, yes, Chris, this is a good book. We're going to buy this book because it's good. And basically, I actually bought the Kindle of it as well. I can't have too many copies of this thing, the advanced copy, but I want to see you successful because it means everyone in our community could do a similar process. And I think we absolutely should have a follow-up interview as to the process and what you learnt from the launch and what you do differently perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, the launch itself, the planning of the launch was not that tough. Like, I kind of knew what I needed to do, how I was going to do it, and who I was going to call on to help me execute it, right? It was actually the toughest part of this entire thing, James, was putting the book together itself. It is, you know, writing a book is not like writing, you know, 50,000 word blog posts.
Man, I don't write one blog post.
Yeah.
I talk.
Right. And see, now, that's something that I did for about 40% of this book. All of the case studies, all of the spotlights in the book were interviews that I did with the entrepreneurs that I highlight for their success and to tell their stories of virtual freedom. And I've had so much great feedback from people in regards to those case studies. I mean, I ended up cutting 3 or 4 out, and I wish I didn't now. I should have left them in there. The fact is that those were recorded and then sent to my editor, who basically had them transcribed and put them into sort of more conversational flow for me to then go ahead and tweak. Now, looking back on it, I probably should have done more of the dictation and that kind of flow of things rather than less tapping away on keys. So that was the first, you know, kind of learning point there. But, you know, the toughest part of this whole thing was not actually, looking back, wasn't actually writing it, even though it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. It wasn't the writing of the book. It was the editing of the book that really kicked my ass, because I was contracted to do 45,000 words by my publisher. And I told him right out of the gate, it's not enough for this book. You're going to get more than that. Okay, well, do what you think is right. And we'll just look at, you know, page count and edits and blah, blah. Okay, great. So I submitted almost 70,000 words. It then got cut down to just over 61,000, and that's what we finished with. But there's a huge resource section in there. There's tools splattered throughout the entire book, as you know, as well. So I wanted to add all these things in there, which were going to be really actionable, which I did some of when I was writing, but a lot of within the editing format. And man, I think we went through 4 different edits on the book before the manuscript was actually approved by the publisher to go to print. So the editing was the side of it that really kind of, it just seemed like it was just dragging on and on and on. And you know, it was tough, man. I'll be frank with you. That was the toughest part of the entire process. Now, if I'd have self-published, I would have had obviously the book edited, but I don't think it would have been as painful as a task as it was going through a traditional publisher.
Yeah, and I've basically taken one of my courses and had it transcribed and then had it edited, and it's close to being done, but I haven't had to type a single word, which is...
I love that.
Yeah, definitely the way to go. Now, let's get back on really onto the topic of this book and the core of it. Firstly, you've done a few podcasts and interviews in the lead up to the book and the launch of the book, right?
Yep.
What was the one question you'd really wish someone had asked, but they never did, and you really had something to say about something?
I think, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a really good question right there in itself, actually. I think nobody actually asked me what I wanted the book to do long term.
Chris, what do you want the book to do long term?
It's so look stage now, but I'll take it anyway. I mean, I wrote the book to change the mindset of a generation of entrepreneurs that have been led to believe by society that the definition of success is working yourself into either a hospital bed or a freaking coffin. You know what I mean? Like, I was that micromanaging 16-hour a day, 7-day a week, stressed out entrepreneur suffering from the superhero syndrome that I talk about inside the book. That was me in 2009. I hit a brick wall, burnt out, and was absolutely no good to anybody for anything. And that's when I put the plan in place to really remove myself from the business by the end of 2010. And that's exactly what I did. So what I guess I'm trying to do with the book long term is really to get people thinking about how, you know, genuinely sitting down and thinking about how they're running and growing their businesses. Should they be doing everything that they're doing day to day from a business owner perspective? If the answer to that is no, then delegate it to somebody else and focus on the stuff that you should be doing. And I mean, that's what I did. And I now work a 4-day work week, not a 4-hour work week, but I work a 4-day work week. I have done for over 3 years. I do no longer work Fridays. I have a 3-day weekend and I love it. And so does my family. And I work maybe 8-9 hours a day. And that's because I enjoy what I do. I enjoy being around my team. I enjoy working on my blog, my podcast, and all the rest of it. I know you work a lot less than that.
Yeah, I was thinking, and it's a choice now, you know, like
it is. Yes.
Bumped into my friendly surf instructor out the front here today. Every day he just looks at me. Yesterday he said, "I want your job because you're out here more than I am." And I said,
"I love that.
At least you get paid." And then today he goes, "You really are the definition of a local. You're in the water every time I come here. This is your patch." I said, "It is my patch." And then I went up to the girl that he was instructing and I said, "This guy is the best surf instructor in the world. He taught me to surf just last week." And then I paddle off and catch a great wave and disappear. and it's true, actually. He did teach me to surf last week. It's the first lesson I've ever had.
That's great.
But he can't figure out why I'm always out there. I'm like a fish. And that's the way I want my I want to wake up, have breakfast, surf, check emails, have lunch, do some content, surf, have dinner, watch some movie, go to bed. I'm happy with that day. And really the message of the book is it's a guide. If you want to do that, you can implement, because you've revealed probably for the first time ever, and I haven't really taught this outside of very closed groups, but you've revealed what you can actually expect from people, who you would need, what their job roles might look like, how much you would have to pay them, where you would find them, what tools they're going to use, what you have to contribute, and how to hold it all together. And I think that that's the most comprehensive guide that I've ever seen on the topic. And I love that you recognize that these people are humans and not robots. And you also, at the same time as helping people understand they don't have to be workaholics, I think you've also explained to people that they have to do something. At some point, especially in the beginning, you're going to have to put in a little bit of effort for that payoff. And to get to the phase that I'm at, it's only taken me 4 years. But I've gotten there through continual progress, and I might add 10 visits to my team.
See that right there? That's game changer stuff right there. That's what every business owner that's working with virtual staff here in the Philippines should do. Maybe not 10 times in 4 years.
Now, absolutely go and visit them face to face at least once. You will double whatever you're getting. Whatever happens once you reel, because culturally, I think they're a little bit scared. And when they can put a real person to you and they realize you're a human and not a scary robot, then I think that makes everyone have a better working relationship.
Yeah. No, that's it. I mean, you're doing it right. I mean, and thank you for saying all the kind things that you've said on the show about the book. I mean, you are one of the guys that, you know, I genuinely follow, right? You know this. I mean, I'm a big James fan myself. And that's because you don't talk BS, you give it straight. And the value that you provide to your audience is second to none. So to have you say those nice things about something that I really put blood, sweat, and tears into for well over a year, it means a lot to me, man. So I appreciate it.
That's all right. And I want to see this book go well, because having a team of 50, I can read through that book and I can agree or disagree with everything in there. And I could say that this book is as close to how I would have liked to have been able to write a book if I was doing one on that topic. So you've done a great job. Now, is there another message that you really think should be put across if someone were to listen to this podcast? Obviously, the action step today is go and buy the book. That's the action step. But is there something else that you would like to add on that would really enhance the value from someone listening to this conversation?
Yeah, there is. And it never ceases to amaze me how many people skip over this. But right at the beginning of the book, and you'll see when you get it, there's an exercise that I ask everybody to do, which is called the three lists to freedom exercise. And this is something that I did myself when I hit that wall back in late 2009. I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't give it a name at the time. But now it's called the three lists to freedom because that's exactly what it did for me. And I sat down and I put those three lists together. And I talk about how to do it properly in the book and walk you through it and all that stuff. But it still never ceases to amaze me. When I meet up with people that I've spoken with before, I presented in front of at conferences, or they've heard me on podcasts and they've heard me talk about the three lists to freedom exercise, and they say, I just don't know where to get started. That's what they say. I don't know where to get started. I don't know what to outsource. I don't know who to outsource to. And I always ask the question, have you done your three lists of freedom? No, I haven't had the chance yet. Well, that's where it all begins, as far as I'm concerned. So that would be my last piece of advice on this. If you do pick up the book, thank you. But more importantly, do your bloody three lists of freedom, because I come back to that exercise, as over and over and over and over again throughout the course in the entire 300 pages in the book, because it's that darn important.
Oh, and just to add some weight to that, in my business, in fact, in my highest level mastermind, we have something called a 4% activity checklist, which is very similar. And we do it every 12 weeks. And it's how you continually make refinements. We recalibrate. What are you focusing on? What shouldn't you be touching at all? And using that, I've ratcheted myself away from the things that I suck at or I don't want to do. And then I'm only doing stuff I love talking to you. So that's fun. As much as a Filipino loves getting a nice pasalupong, how'd I go?
That was good. That was bang on, mate. You've been practicing. I like it.
Oh, yeah. I've been practicing. Those little stuffed koalas keep piggybacking me back into the country.
I bet they go a long way over here for sure.
Now, I'm going to give a tip too, all right? How about that? Extra value here. If you have a staff member in another country, please actually have a conversation with them and find out a few words in their own language. Be interested in them, because it stuns me. Occasionally I'll speak to someone and they might have had a team member for a year or two and never once spoken to them on Skype, not know a single word and have no idea where they live, nothing. And just that little act of finding out will get you a long way down the track to starting that relationship that's going to grow your business and get something really good happening. So thanks for coming along to the show, Chris. I think this is the first time I've interviewed you on Superfast Business, and certainly won't be the last.
No, it is. It is the first time, and it was all my pleasure, mate. I very much appreciate it.
You have produced a wonderful book, so head along to – I'll put a link in this as well. But it's called Virtual Freedom, and it has a really long extra title. What is it?
It's Virtual Freedom, How to Work with Virtual Staff to Buy More Time, Become More Productive, and Build Your Dream Business.
Yeah, and it's an easy read. I read it in one session. It was easy to whip through, and it's all laid out nice and clear. So thanks very much. We will catch up and find out what happened on stage two of your publishing release. For all those publishers and experts out there interested in going through this process, I'd love to get the goods on that one.
Yeah, it'd be my pleasure.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, mate.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.